You're listening to RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. On this really exciting week, I have driven in so much snow, it's unbelievable, and I've been having a ball. Apart from I've got this voice comes from the other side of the car going, slow down, be careful, slow down, slow down. But I might tell you a story about how I got away with that before. My name's Eric Wiltshire. You are listening to Postcard from Poprad on Radio Tatras International and various other stations, our friends at Talk Radio X and Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and, of course, you lovely people on RTI. We're based out in Poprad in the east of Slovakia, hence the name of the programme, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, where it snows properly in the winter, unlike you lot in the UK, which brings me nicely to my first compatriot in crime. It is none other than Lee Banks on the zit of the nose of Europe.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. And Mark.
And
Ouch!
Steady.
I'd just like to say how disgusted I am with the human race.
So no new news then?
Yeah, what? Listen, no, seriously, what kind of animal are we that gives up its freedom of speech, allows idiots and children to rewrite its history on the internet, and yet supports a failing fiscal system? The human race are fools!
No new news then. Over in Paris, it's none other than the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yes, hello there. Well, hello everybody, and I'm speaking from the zit in the middle of Europe here. Paris. What foul weather it is. It was a disgustingly sort of cold wind that sort of blows right up you and in you and out of you. Anyway, hello. Very pleased to be speaking to
everybody. All you do is moan, isn't it?
Here, yes. Believe me, when I'm in London, it's lovely.
Banks!
Yes, dear. What? Yeah,
pot.
I help you.
Pot! Pot!
No, I've not done any of that for decades. Don't you start maligning my character.
Pot calling kettle black.
Yeah, put the kettle on.
Put the kettle on.
Is that nice cup of tea, actually.
Is that sooty and sweet?
Nice cup of tea. Please.
Sorry, that's very old, isn't it? Sad news as always to start off the programme, but this is what happens in the real world. Soul musician Jimmy Caister has died at the age of 71, and what an inspiration he was as well.
He was, wasn't he? He did all sorts of things. What was his...
Troglodyte's the one I remember.
That was the name of his band, wasn't it?
Was it? I thought it was called Troglodyte.
Hang on, I'm just going to read my notes that I'm 100% up on.
He's a soul saxophonist.
Yeah, right, he was. Wasn't his band.
It was Troglodyte. Was his one of his famous singles?
How did it
go? One of his singles. I thought it was his band.
No.
Right. But his soul has been liberated now.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, but his soul lives on in the form of all sorts of people sampling his music as well.
That's right. He was actually, but a lot of people haven't heard of him. Jimmy Caster, right? Not to pour oil on troubled waters. He was a man who actually affected the whole world without actually becoming a major star. But most people in the business knew of him. And like Eric's just said, started to sample his music. Good on you, Jimmy.
They knew him as Jimmy Caster, not Caster.
Well, probably that's true as well.
Yeah.
Depends if you're in America in a tomato or a tomato.
Or Manchester.
Yeah.
Listen.
What?
To the silence I'm giving to Mark.
Oh, was that a tumbleweed moment?
That was my tumbleweed moment for you, Mark, yeah.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. I have no idea about this gentleman, but I'm sure Lee will fill us in. Goodfellas costume designer Richard Bruno.
Well, when you think Martin Scorsese is probably one of the most stylish film directors who's ever been allowed to appear, put his work on the silver screen.
Yep.
And Richard Bruno, who's died at age 87. That's a good age, you know.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You've got a few years left on that, you know.
I can have some of that. Yeah, I'll have some of that. Yeah.
Well, he actually dressed a lot of Martin Scorsese's films. One of the most impressive was...
Hey, woo-woo. So you're telling me he put coats around the films?
Oh, we're just going to be silly today, aren't we?
Yes.
No, he was the dresser for the thing. He didn't dress the sets. He dressed the people who were in it.
Yeah.
And it was such... If anybody... Do you remember it, Mark? Let's have a sensible conversation.
Well, I mean, I don't remember him, but I mean, I've certainly seen all the sharp suits, for instance, in The Goodfellas, and they were magnificent. And I was tremendously interested now to read that actually they were his own design, and they actually sort of, you know, set off quite a trend in that kind of thing.
That's right. He became a fashion guru. People started... In fact, I can remember in the 1990s, I used to dress like a good fellow. And but he also dressed Heaven Can Wait, Raging Bull, The Colour of Money, everything.
Yeah.
No, really, really great.
Yes. It's lovely to hear old guys going on about the good old days. It's lovely. I just really enjoyed that moment.
He's just so rude, isn't he, Mark? Honestly. Yeah. You know he's the oldest anyway.
Talking about Martin Scorsese. I saw this weekend with my children a film called Hugo, which in France is known as Hugo Gabret, which really was a tribute to the old silent filmmaker Georges Méliès. What a wonderful film. Have you seen it, you guys?
No.
I haven't. I do want to see it. I must admit, it's one of those films that is there in my head to see.
I have to say, I wept and wept. It was splendid.
Do you know the last film I watched? I have watched a film in the last decade.
I know which last
film. No. I don't know if it was this decade.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Might have been. Might have been The Boat That Rocked.
I was just going to say that, and you talked over it. That's the last film you watched. I can confirm that's the last film that you ever watched.
Yes, that's the last one I ever watched. If there's been anything else since, make your suggestions now, because I've never seen anything that does work. Apart from...
It was a very good film. I finally saw it a couple of weeks ago, and it was a very good film.
Is that all? Oh, yeah, it was very good, yeah.
Yeah, it was on ITV, if I remember rightly, on Thursday night. Because all the anoraks were going on about it. Yeah. Kind of sad news to continue and subheading How the Mighty Have Fallen. Well, Kodak has filed for, Chapter 13 bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Which is slightly different to other forms of bankruptcy around the world.
Some sort of temporary protection that they get, really, to give them a breathing space to carry on.
Yes. But we're going back to Goodfellas with the protection.
Oh, ha ha.
Ah ha ha.
Sorry.
But no, I mean, seriously, what a tragedy for Kodak. What, I mean, a great, great, tradition. What a great firm. What, amazing contribution they've made to the world of photography. And what colossal negligence to allow a firm like that to go down the tubes in the way they have. And I could only compare it to Nokia, which is following them pretty fast. If the rescue by Microsoft is not going to work. What a shame, because Kodak had everything except really the nous to see ahead. What a shame.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
It's exactly the same, Mark. I don't know if you remember or if you guys ever saw them. Kodak brought out these instant printers. In the digital world, they brought out these things that you put in a piece of Kodak paper that cost you a fortune, that went into a little box with proprietary inky type stuff on them. Yeah. They went through a couple of things that lasted about 5 minutes and they all locked up and you threw them in the bin.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Kodak had the greatest, and I'm actually very proud of the fact that many years ago, and I still have the photograph to prove it, I came third in the UK's junior Kodak picture competition.
Out of how many people?
Thousands.
Oh, right, okay.
We did it through the camera club of the village that I lived in, and you went from the village one up to the town one up to the region one, blah, 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 blah. And I actually beat my father, which was quite fun.
You should not beat your father. That's a terrible ambition.
Actually, beating your father is a euphemism for something else. I think it's to do with beating the bishop or something.
Very good. And it was a picture of my younger sister picking daisies.
All right.
Picking daisies what?
And I was complimented on the composition for such a young lad.
So you wrote about it. You didn't actually take a picture.
I took a picture, and my prize was a 120 Kodak Brownie.
Wow, my first camera ever.
Really?
Yeah, a Brownie 12. No, it wasn't 127. 127.
That's it, 127. Yeah. Sort of a Bakelite thing.
That's it.
Yeah, black Bakelite thing with a fixed lens on it.
Worth £45 now.
Is it?
It's in putting my antique dealer's hat on. Yeah, £45 you get through on auction for that. While we're talking about Kodak, I'd like to add a serious point to this, because it is quite serious. I saw a piece on the wire today saying that Kodak going bust is certainly a big story, but they have no immediate plans to make a film yet.
God, despair.
It's not bad, actually, not bad.
Well, it's not bad, is it? Oh, which reminds me, we had the email flooded in last week.
Yeah.
One from Debbie, who says she's an incredibly sexist lady and loves sexist jokes. Our joke was very good about the fox and the dog.
Fox and the
dog. Oh, right. I understand. So she's a sexist lady.
Yes.
Can I tell my one about a romantic meal?
No, but I think you could tell the one about getting married again.
Oh, well, here's one for you. What's she called?
This is for Debbie.
Debbie, this is one's for you. Right? I have always... I can't do it when I can't do it on command.
Story.
Yeah, we've heard about people with that kind
quite
of problem.
Seriously, quite seriously. I've always wanted to remarry my ex-wife. You know, we had a long relationship together.
Why is that, Lee?
Well, I just always wanted to, but she said that all I'm after is my money back.
Oh, I love it. The other email flooded in from Paul. And Paul, I promise you, Paul, we are coming to your problem very shortly in the programme. But moving along first, Costa Concordia, what a disaster.
What an absolute disaster. And when I went to see Hugo Cabret at the cinema this Sunday afternoon, they were advertising holidays, cruises, featuring Costa Concordia. Quite amazing.
Ouch.
To see it sailing lovely and people in the swimming pool and what have you, knowing actually that it was on its side on the edge of some island somewhere.
Not so good.
Well, I'll say,
what a tragedy, though, for the people.
Yeah.
What strikes me, though, honestly, and I'm no great expert on this, but I have been following it like everybody else, and it strikes me that once again, somebody's being made a scapegoat. I'm the captain of the ship did make a mistake. He admits he made a mistake. But he has been pilloried from hell to burn over this mistake that he made.
Well,
and
I was watching
and he's been accused of killing...
What I didn't get was that it was on Slovak telly last night that they were relaying the Coast Guard messages between him and the Coast Guard, I think, commander or something, where the Coast Guard guy was saying, get back on your ship. And he's saying, no, I'm controlling the evacuations from here because it's the best place to be.
Well, that's it.
I'm thinking, well, what's wrong? Why does he have to... Well, the ship wasn't going to go down anyway. So if he stood on the bridge, what was he going to see when he's falling on his side? Because it was over 90 degrees.
Yeah. I think that's quite a good point.
Yeah, he said the whole thing seems that and bear in mind, you know, the tenet of the nation as far as things are like this are concerned, automatically they need a scapegoat. They need somebody to blame because it deflects blame perhaps from other places.
And of course, don't forget one other thing, Lee. If it is that the lawyers are sitting in the background waiting for the compensation claims, it's going to water those down, pardon no pun intended, it's going to water those down one hell of a lot in terms of what the Concordia Group people would have to pay out.
I think that's a very good point. I think that's an extremely good point, And it just is. I'm reserving my judgment on that, because I do think that this bloke is possibly being made into a scapegoat, and I don't think that's fair, particularly
captains are really for. Maybe they do go down with their ship economically, liability wise and everything.
Well, I do my romantic meal for two joke now?
No. Very inappropriate. big issue across the internet this week was the protests against the SOPA thing, which is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. It caused so many businesses around the world so much grief. I don't think that Wikipedia closing its pages for a day did anything whatsoever, apart from force a few people to pick up a book and have a look, which is probably true. But what's the consensus of opinion?
My opinion on this is that the best thing that the world could do, this is what we're saying at the beginning, how shamefully stupid the human race is, to allow something like... Hello, somebody's phoning me.
It's his phone this week, Mark.
It's my phone, yeah. Obviously. Should I kill it?
Yes.
Should we say hello?
No.
Nah, it'll only be a call center. Nobody ever phones me, apart from call centers. Anyway, yeah, I think Wikipedia is the thing that is one of the things on the internet which is doing more damage to this world than anything else could possibly do. And that's because we are allowing children and fools to rewrite our history. The best thing that could happen to Wikipedia is to be shut down, not for just one day, forever.
Oops, Mark.
Well, I disagree. I think Wikipedia seems to be a wonderful thing. And I mean, as far as I can gather, there are various people who tried experiments and tried altering information, and within days it's been restored and corrected. Either you leave the writing of history in the hands of a few academics, or you make it, you put it into the hands of a huge number of people. I'm not quite sure which is better or which is worse. I don't see that there's a particular difference. I don't think there's a particular problem about Wikipedia.
Okay, let me try. Let me give you two points of the internet where people have suffered. One was a camera shop down in the south of England that was doing rather well, little shop, took pictures at weddings, did your sort of average camera stuff, sold you a digital camera when you wanted one. Competitor up the road decided to slag this bloke off, call him all sorts of nasty things, and his business just flopped like there's no tomorrow. And the second one was an independent guy in London running a computer shop. He was actually accused by a competitor of being a paedophile on the internet. There was nothing he could do about it because both these comments were through US sites. They would not have the resources to go to court in America. Therefore, they had to do all sorts of other manner and wondrous things to get this stuff removed, by which time, you know, they're on benefit support because their businesses aren't running properly. Now, that can't be right either.
No, it can't. You're quite right. But let me put it this way to you, and after this, I will rest my case, right?
Mm.
Would you allow a school to step out on the street, see some bloke standing at a bus stop, say, excuse me, would you mind coming in and teaching my 4C about history, and then bring in as a supply teacher a 14-year-old child and say, can you teach them all about the history of the Roman Empire and things like that? You wouldn't, would you?
No.
And that's exactly what happens on Wikipedia. Somebody puts
something. I don't think that's harsh.
That isn't harsh. I can go on Wikipedia and change it. All right, here's another example.
Why don't you do that?
Why don't you go to Wikipedia,
yes,
change something, all right, make it inaccurate, and then see how quickly it will be changed back?
Because how do you know the people who are changing whatever I put on the internet, on Wikipedia, which might be wrong, how do you know that the people who are doing it are changing it to be right? The history of the world was written, quite rightly, like you say, not just by academics. It was written by ordinary people and everything, but it was chronicled. And it has a chronicle going back to the beginning of time. And that's what the independent thinkers of this world used to create the map of the history of the world. This Wikipedia is in terrible danger of destroying that whole map. Schools use Wikipedia rather than use encyclopedias.
Well, they shouldn't.
It is ludicrous. But
because by and large, it's pretty correct. And believe me, being pretty correct is probably a damn sight more correct than a lot of the history books and a lot of the stuff that's taught out. You go and look at sort of versions of history or versions of what's happened in a French history book and an English history book. You know, you'll find very, very distinct.
Thank you, Mark. That is the one issue I have. If you look at I'll give you a perfect example. In the U, as three Brits, grumpy old men talking on the radio, we have and were given a view of the Second World War, weren't we, when we were at school learning history?
Yes.
That is not the same view that is given to me by people in Slovakia who were subjected to the SS. We're very close to some evil camps, which are not that far away, where Jews were killed, murdered by people. And we, the only people that can tell that story the way it really is are sort of around 80, 90 years old now. And I've had the honour and privilege of talking to some of them, and they've trusted me that much that they've told me the stories, which I won't repeat here. But I can assure you they're totally different to that which we were taught in the UK. And with respect to the US people listening, you know, John Wayne didn't ride in every time and fix the Second World War. It was a combined effort. But in the US, it's the US that won it. It's not true.
Well, within all the history books that are written, you actually will find the full compendium of what history should be represented as. On Wikipedia, you can't. Like, you're asking me to go in and change it. Here's something. I've been commissioned to write a book on the Midlands. In Britain.
We didn't know that, Lee, but you just, you know, Mr. Bighead.
Oh, sorry, did I just let that slip?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sorry, how embarrassing. Anyway, I've been commissioned to write a book on the Midlands, ladies and gentlemen. It's out in September, you can buy it. I've nearly finished it, it's genius. But anyway, right, one thing I had to do...
Will it be on Mark's Kindle?
It's not going on... Well, I bet it'll set
the book
boil
on
I'll have to be old, John. What was it?
It won't be on my blinking Kindle.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fine, Mark.
You do realise, Lee, that everybody else is laughing on the planet.
What, laughing at my book?
Laughing about your book, yes.
Right, I'm not going to write it now. They get lost.
But you said you finished it. Are you telling me a significant journalist of 30-plus years is telling lies on the radio?
Do you use Wikipedia to research it all? Have you researched any of it from Wikipedia?
Listen, that's exactly what I was going to tell you.
Oh, it is. It is researched Wikipedia.
For a matter of convenience, instead of getting hold of a Robbie Williams fanzine or his fan club or whatever, I went on Wikipedia to got part of the Midlands Robbie Williams was
next
born.
Subject.
Do you know where he
Let's
was born
move on
in the Midlands?
Yeah, go on.
He was born in Fenton.
Yeah.
He was born in Tunstall. He was born in, I've forgotten the other one, Burslem. Mm. He was born in Stoke-on-Trent. He was born, or his mother must have had a bike on that day. That's the information that Wikipedia gave me.
Anyway, I don't think that one's going to go away. It'll rumble on for hours. A couple of more quick stories as we get towards the end of part one. Apparently, there's a spat between Google and Rupert Murdoch over the SOPA thing as well, as this story rumbles on, where Google has hit back at Rupert Murdoch after he branded the search giant a piracy leader.
Well,
it is. How can you deny that it isn't? How can you say it isn't? It obviously is.
I could have told Mr. Murdoch this before he started, because the rules are quite simple, and it's been enshrined in law, that Google provides a snippet of information. It's not the publisher.
Yes,
now,
I
don't agree with that at all.
I don't agree with it either.
I think Google are the publisher. That's my personal opinion. In response, Google said it fought pirates and counterfeiters every day. Yeah, right.
Well, I agree. I think. You see, are we going to discuss Rupert Murdoch on his payouts?
In a bit, yes, but not now.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I'll gloss over that.
Well, let me just tell you where I'm going. If you try and put in adult content words into Google search machinery now, it doesn't necessarily bring you up the easy options. For example, if you type in Lee G. Banks, as you type in Lee and then G and then B, it will give you options for Lee Banks.
The same on the site?
On the normal Google search tools. It doesn't use its intuitive version. The same will happen for me and for Mark, or in Mark's case, the Consumer Action Group. As you start to write it, you will find Consumer Action Group come up under the name as you're writing it. Now, Google are able to stop that happening with adult content, especially parts of the anatomy. So, if they can do it for that... Why can't they do it for other things, which in actual fact could be considered piracy or counterfeiting? It's very easy for them to change their algorithms and say, Eric's driving game is not going to show up unless it's on an official site. But they don't do it. That's the problem.
Well, that's it. It's the control. This is what we're talking about with Wikipedia, isn't it? It's the control that Google and places like that should have over this mammoth publishing house that affects the whole of the world.
Yep. Moving along, Mega Upload, a file-sharing site, that's been shut down because of piracy laws. The federal prosecutors have accused it of costing copyright holders more than $500 million in lost revenue. Now, here we go again. Colloquially known as, CityNet people, citizens of the internet. And namely the hacker groups, which takes me back to the Wikipedia thing for a little comment from the New York Times this week. The hacker group Anonymous has started to target FBI and US Departments of Justice because of this ruling. And interestingly, as we get right towards the end, that which we didn't mention when talking about Wikipedia is that I watched this whole case unravel itself on the Wednesday, and as it got towards midnight in Central Europe, evening in the US, apparently there was bucket loads of panic phone calls going into the lawmakers in America from people saying, we no longer support this bill. And even senators were dropping their support for it because there was so much damage being caused by these city nets, or whatever they want to call themselves. Yeah. And actually, it was the citizens of the internet controlling what the US Senate was doing.
Dangerous it is.
And it would appear to me that the SOPA bill is dead in the water now. Absolutely dead.
I think so. And may I say about Mega Upload, there was a piece on the wire today, right, saying that they had a period of mourning for Mega Upload. Yesterday, yeah.
Yes.
Well, they had to wait 72 minutes of silence, followed by a 30-minute waiting period before they could start.
And very quickly for Paul, who emailed in earlier in the week, Virgin Media in the UK, the problem you had, Paul, the other day was there was a complete blackout of Virgin Media services, which they now claim has been fully restored. This happened on Tuesday, and they say the problem's now been fixed, and it's all to do with them upgrading their network because they're planning to double most of the speeds to consumers. Unfortunately, it knocked everybody out on the way through. Great planning, Virgin Media.
Well done, Virgin.
Aren't they
not
wonderful?
Many of you left.
Have you had much on Consumer Action Group about Virgin, Mark?
I find it so difficult to keep my finger on the pulse of everything. I couldn't tell you. I'd have to go along and have a look. Right. I mean, we certainly get complaints about them and all broadband suppliers for various reasons. But it's generally down to sort of, you know, customer service. But in terms of their broadband failure, I'm not too sure.
Okay, we'll be right back in faster than you can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even eat a big burger from a fast food takeaway.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.